answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is tape number 144, entitled, Why Are There So Many Different Churches? In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, our Lord made a very strange statement when he said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice in this passage that the term church is singular, not plural. Jesus did not say that he would build his churches, but rather simply that he would build his church. Listen to the passage again. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote that the church is the body of Christ, and that there is only one body, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, and chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. A simple reading of the New Testament reveals that in Bible times there was only one church, and that all faithful Christians were a part of that one great body of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Although the term churches is occasionally used in the New Testament to refer to a plurality of individual congregations in different locations, such as the seven churches of Asia, mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Bible is quick to point out that the same doctrine was preached in all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Perhaps you're wondering, in view of the unity of the first century, why there are so many conflicting denominations today, and by what authority they exist. The purpose of this lesson, then, is not to be critical of the sincerity or good intentions of anyone, but to find a Bible answer for these important questions. Down through the centuries, it has always been a tendency of mankind to attempt to improve upon God's divine plan, and in so doing, to depart from God's way. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. This tendency was true in the days of King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 24. Also in the time of Naaman, 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 14, and throughout the ages. History shows that it is exactly what took place shortly after the days of the apostles. At first there began a very gradual departure from the New Testament pattern. Human changes were made in the organization of the church, then in the practice and worship of the church. These changes did not happen overnight, and most of them were not done with malicious intent. But gradually they produced an almost complete departure from the New Testament pattern. Like the little boy who each day swapped one of his red blocks for a friend's green marbles, until his whole set of blocks had been changed to marbles, so the distinguishing characteristics of Christ's church were gradually exchanged for the doctrines and commandments of men, until within a few centuries, most of the religious world held very little similarity to the church we read of in the Bible. Jesus and the apostles knew that after the apostolic age such changes would be attempted, and thus strongly warned against being carried away by such departures. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 through 13, Jesus told his disciples, And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Apostle Paul likewise told the Ephesian elders, For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. See also in this same connection Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Again we read, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Peter described the coming departure in these words, But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Throughout the New Testament, we read prophecy after prophecy that soon after the days of the apostles, a great falling away or departure from the faith would come. These prophecies did not declare that people would cease to be religious, nor that they would cease to claim to be following Christ, but simply that they would depart from God's divine pattern and thus make worship vain. Jesus said that such people would, in fact, strongly claim to be following Him and to be doing great work in His name. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. It was not long after this, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, that Jesus said that teaching for doctrine such commandments of men make our entire worship vain. Paul made the coming departure from the New Testament pattern even clearer, if possible, when he described the end of the world in these words, Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It was not long after the days of the apostles that these prophecies began to be fulfilled. First one item, then another, was altered to fit the thinking of the times. These changes in the New Testament pattern were very gradual, so much so that no one generation became very concerned about them. But eventually they produced religious organizations that were often as different from the New Testament church as day is from night. Throughout the centuries, the tendency continued to let man's thoughts about religion take the place of God's divine plan. As though in anticipation of this, the Bible says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. As more and more human opinions and practices developed, new groups began to be formed, each like the New Testament church in some ways, yet each holding special human practices and doctrines which made them different from the church of the Bible and from each other. At present in America alone, there are over 250 different denominations, all similar on the surface, yet each holding different human opinions and teaching human doctrines peculiar to their particular group. If these differences had not existed, such separate groups would never have developed. The present widespread religious division, then, is not over what the Bible teaches, but over human opinions and doctrines which have developed since the days of the apostles. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, and Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. The only real basis for Christian unity, then, lies in a complete return to the New Testament pattern and to the church which we can read of in the Scriptures.
The message heard was brought